皆様、ようこそお参り。
This precious session, we are, each of us here, able to practice this precious session. Even though the mind's eye, the eye of truth, is not yet open, not yet far-seeing, we can believe. We have open faith, faith in this one important matter. We believe in the teaching of truth. During Taisho, someone always has to go out to do the bonsho and chant. It's a shame that he has to leave at this time, but he's maybe not able to understand the Japanese that I'm speaking so well anyway. Even so, this is not lost on you. You do not sit here through this talk in vain as time wasted. And you can rest assured that I am here saying always, always one thing only. Even though you may be hearing it as though I'm bringing up various points and talking about this and that, expounding upon this and that point, there is one point only, just this one thing. It is especially true in our time that practitioners often go about studying this and reading that, learning volumes of assorted things about the Buddhist teaching. And what happens invariably is that you tend to hold on to what you've learned, to what you've read and heard, hold on to what you've read and heard and learned as though it is your dear treasure. Shakyamuni Buddha, of course, cautioned us against doing just this, getting entrapped in ideas, getting entrapped in pictures of truth, holding on to philosophies. Rather, please, just maintain your solid intent to earnestly practice the way. Maintain your quest for enlightenment, the fuel for your determination to practice. Your very practice itself, of course, maintains and nurtures your intent. Of course. And as you practice, you come to realize, you come to see that the path is great, is vast, is limitless, is all-inclusive. When you spread yourself too thin, seeking to learn Buddha Dharma here and there, it often seems that you're getting somewhere. It seems that you are gaining a deeper understanding. But actually, the foundation of your understanding is the ego idea. Your own misguided notions and judgments are inextricably mixed up with the teaching. You understand in terms of your own ideas, your own views. You're not letting go of the notion of ego cherishing. And so you remain awash in your own evaluations, churning in your head. And of course, you will tend to highly prize that which most suits you, that which is most appealing to you. That's what you're going to tend to believe. So in seeking a wide range of Dharma teachings, you can easily become intellectually adept. But that's only scholarly learning. Is that what you want? This is not the way of one who is practicing the way. I hope that you will see the pitfalls here and know that you do not want to live ensnarled by your own ideas of truth. When you're maintaining your intent, your aim to practice, your question is this: what is truth? What is truth? Who am I? While a person is still completely in spiritual darkness before they are able to meet with the Dharma teaching, they are unable to hear the true teaching, the teaching that speaks to who you really are. We always pray in the Hotsugammon, in this life and all lives to come, may we be able to meet with the true teaching. This time, this essential opportunity, this meeting, does come for us without fail. It comes for everyone. We also chant, when we meet with the true teaching, may we be able to believe it thoroughly, without doubts. When we are able to meet with the Buddha Dharma, we are always given one point of guidance. This is decided. And here it is again. Let go of self-cherishing. Let go. Before the teaching, drop the self. Toiling and agonizing, we seek and seek and seek to know truth. We have been able to meet with the true Dharma teaching. And what is the true teaching? All beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha virtue, Buddha wisdom. This is one and the same truth which Shakyamuni Buddha awakened to. The one truth which Shakyamuni Buddha urges us to see. There is nothing outside this. Nothing but, nothing besides this one reality. Just this. This was not something that a philosophy that was cobbled together. The Buddha practiced long and hard and awakened to just this. Together with the grasses, the trees, the great earth, I attained the Buddha way. The truth that you seek and seek so avidly, with such burning desire, is now, already, eternally, your life. You are the master. Truth is seeking truth. If you are not yet aware of this, if you do not yet understand it, that's simply because you are looking off. Someone here who had been coming to Sesshin but had to stop for a time because of a problem with his legs, this person decided to come for a Taisho, but he couldn't find his glasses. The glasses weren't where he always keeps them. And here it is, time to hurry and get here. He told me that he was frantically trying to find his glasses when he tripped. As he tripped, he reached up to his face, and there sat his glasses. Frantically searching and searching, what you are searching for is right here. Finally, the mind's eye is open. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. But the way of perceiving, your way of receiving, has changed, so that everything is changed. This will be your experience. Your experience now is that, while everything is just perfect, in truth, as it is. You're perceiving imperfection. You're feeling inadequate. You feel unfulfilled. You feel dissatisfied. Complaints. Circumstances can seem so irritating you can't stand it. Yes, there is suffering. No two ways about it. We can become so discouraged just by the words and the rivalry of others. How misled, how blind we are. And the cruel and frightening things that humans can do because they're lost in illusion, delusion. The more a person relies on their wits, the more dangerous the situation. Those wits, this cleverness, this calculation, is what we call looking off, discriminating mind, constructions, fabrications. Our minds are like wild animals immersed in delusion. Nanzen said to Joshu, knowing is delusion, not knowing is blankness. We cling to our ideas, or alternately, we vacantly space out, dully unconscious, like spending your time in front of a pachinko machine, lost in escape. The ways and means that we use to escape, to not be face to face one with this, all these are deceptions. You are deceiving yourself. But worse, you not only bring harm to yourself, you also harm others. Not being aware of the way. Not being aware of it, not listening, not believing in this truth which is yours. So many, many people are in this position. And yet you are here, practicing the way of truth. It is so difficult to attain human birth, and so rare and wonderful to be able to meet with Buddha Dharma. Happily, we are blessed with this human body. Happily, happily, the self meets with the self. Self-awareness is possible. We have this capacity. We are in the position to attain enlightenment. And at the same time, we have an infinite capacity to use our wits, to be clever and judgmental, to look off. We're continually jerked and pulled this way and that way to look off. This situation hardly applies to any other being. We are looking off from the reality of our being. Yet, our time to look squarely at, to be one with all existence, to see reality, our time will come. The baby grows up. The baby is nurtured. We chant, upon meeting with the true teaching, I will renounce worldly perceptions, worldly ways, and receive, embrace Buddha Dharma. You are here digging through the worldly ways, digging through evaluating, judgmental, discriminating mind. This is renouncing worldly perceptions, worldly ways. We receive and embrace Buddha Dharma. Here, when we've reached this point, this is where a person is sure to meet with a true teacher. And it's necessary. It's even said that if you do not practice under a true teacher, it's better not to practice at all. You cannot be careless. Before the Dharma, lay down self-cherishing. Throw yourself into the house of Buddha. Of course, we may have the wish to lay down self-clinging, But we don't so easily and so readily practice in accordance with that wish. Maybe this is the case for 1 year or two or three or 10 or 20 or 30 years. We may intend to, we may want to throw out self-cherishing, but we don't actually in practice follow through. As long as we aren't throwing down the ego idea wholly, well, our practice is one of not fully letting go. So I must urge you only to follow this one narrow practice, this one way of doing, this one way doing. Some people find fault with this. They feel that it would be more gratifying. Anyone feels at times that it would be more gratifying to learn this and learn that and learn the other, to be given this practice and that practice, this teaching, that teaching. But a teacher who would teach in such a way could not be called a true teacher. You were given just this one teaching. Maintain your quest for enlightenment. Do this by simply maintaining your practice. Release your hold on the self and know how vast is the way. Do just this one doing. Just do it. Just practice. And know how vast and wonderful is the way. One step of practice, one breath, wholehearted, is one step taken. This is the law of karmic inevitability. The practice that you practice is never lost. Please be resolved on this point and be decided in your practice. First and foremost, believe with all of your life. You are immersed in the Buddha way. Here, now. We walk the one path. The path that we walk is one. It is counting the breath. It is following the breath. Shkantaza, Muji, or the many, many more ways and koans. The teaching is the same. Each practice reveals one and the same thing. There's a practice just right for you, a practice that will reveal to you this one-way path. There's no question of comparing and saying that this is a good practice, but that one is not as good. It's just as in the Olympics, where you have the 100-meter and the 10,000-meter race and the marathon. We have different practices. Depending on the depth of your aim and the way that you're able to practice, a certain practice might be better for you than another, will be better for you than another. However, if you sincerely desire another practice and you're very sure that you can carry through with it surely and with strength, then you're welcome to honestly let me know that. Yet, I often get something like this. You come to me and announce, I am following the breath. Following this breath is, in itself, perfect, complete. It's only if you're not giving yourself to it fully that you don't understand, that you don't believe in the perfection, the wholeness of this one breath. And so you get to churning up problems and questions and objections in your head. You start to think, if only I were doing Muji, it would be different. And so you come to me and announce, I'm following my breath. What is Mu? Even though you're busy with turmoil, of course, life is perfect. But you're busy, all you see is the turmoil and not the perfection. So I have to ask you, your practice is following the breath, why are you looking off? You're looking over at somebody else's table thinking that their dish looks better than yours. One plate may be a little larger or smaller, but the feast is the same. So again, I urge you that if you genuinely believe that a certain practice is so right for you that you'll be able to practice with great determination and energy, let me know about it. Otherwise, please don't waste your time thinking and analyzing and comparing, imagining something else to be better. Please be sincere, open, honest. Being clever gets you nowhere. Be like a fool, like an idiot. Be like a child, but more of a child than even a child. Both here and abroad, Ryokan is very popular. He did not keep up a temple. He lived in a small, poor hermitage. He spent his days freely playing with children. But before that time, in his earlier days, he spent some 10 years practicing earnestly, just as his teacher directed. He continually poured his effort into his practice. Forget the self and practice. He maintained his one strong aim, to forget the self, let it go, to practice just exactly in accordance with the way. Perhaps his koan was Mu, or what is your original face, or maybe he was following the breath. In any case, it's sure that he devoted himself totally to the practice that he was given. I visited Ensuji, the monastery where he practiced, and thinking to myself as I saw the Kaisando, the Doksan room, how he must have run and thrown himself into Doksan. Ryokan was so kind and so gentle, just earnestly, with one mind, earnestly letting go of self, letting go of selfishness. Fabrication is unnecessary. Fabrication is the worldly way. Picking and choosing comes from discriminating mind. Please do just this one doing. Let go of worldly views, worldly ways, and receive and embrace Buddha Dharma. Ultimately, together with the great earth, we attain the Buddha way. Practice only this one-way path. There is nothing to grasp, nothing to hold on to. Your practice is not holding on. There is nothing to seek. There is no abiding, no dwelling. There is only do this one doing. You've been shown how to settle the body, settle the breath, settle the mind. In truth, these are not three. You know what to do. There is nothing for you to figure out. There is only just for you to do it. Just carry through. Die while alive, the great death. And be alive, truly alive. Die while alive and know what it is to be calm. Without dying, ego's death, you cannot even begin to imagine true calm. Calm and ease. This is what you're seeking, ease. Follow, please, and these are the words of someone who is stuck with the practice and who has carried through. please carry through. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.